Today, the RBA on inflation targeting. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. In a recent speech, RBA Governor Philip Lowe made some important points. First, he said, we should expect interest rates to be lower for longer. It is highly unlikely that we'll be contemplating high interest rates until we are confident that inflation will return to around the midpoint of the target range, he said. Second, the RBA has more capacity to cut if required, and by the way, we think they will. And third, moving the 2 to 3% inflation target band is not something they would want. Of course, the Treasurer is considering reviewing the RBA mandate. So let's look in more detail at what Lowe said. First, he looked at why inflation is so low. Low inflation, he says, has become the norm in most economies. Currently, three quarters of advanced economies have an inflation rate of below 2% and one third have an inflation rate below 1%. Three factors together, he said, may explain what's happened. The credibility of monetary policy frameworks highlights an increased focus on inflation by central banks that have helped cement low inflation norms in economies around the world. Many people understand that if inflation were to pick up too much, the central bank would respond to make sure the pickup was only temporary. This means that workers and firms can make their decisions on the basis that the rate of overall inflation will not be too different from the target rate. And he said, this has therefore made the system less inflation prone than once it was. The second explanation for low inflation is the continuing existence of spare capacity in parts of the global economy. Today, he said, it remains a factor in some countries, including here in Australia, but on the surface, it is a less convincing explanation for low inflation in countries where unemployment rates are now at multi-decade lows. Based on conventional measures of capacity utilisation, these economies are operating close to their sustainable limits. One explanation for continued low inflation in this environment, he said, is that the current rate of aggregate demand growth is simply not fast enough to put meaningful pressure on capacity. And if so, stronger demand growth would be expected to see inflation pick up. Another possibility is that the unemployment rate by itself no longer provides a good guide to spare capacity, partly due to the flexibility of labour supply. And the third explanation is that globalisation and advances in technology have changed pricing dynamics. There are two main channels through which this appears to be happening. First is by lowering the cost of production of many goods, and the second is by making markets more contestable and increasing competition. The main effect of these changes should be on the level of prices rather than on the ongoing rate of inflation. But this level effect is playing out over many years, so it appears as persistently low inflation. And new global technology platforms have also revolutionised services such as retail, media and entertainment, and transformed how we communicate and search for information and compare prices. Which sort of begs the second question, which is inflation targeting still appropriate? Well, here in Australia, some have argued that a lower inflation target would be a good idea, given the ongoing low rates of inflation, that we should adjust our formulation of 2 to 3% on average over time. Lowering the target might have the short-run advantage of allowing us to say we have achieved our goal, he said, but shifting the goalposts hardly seems a good way to build long-term credibility. Shifting the goalposts could also entrench a low inflation mindset. The inflation target should establish a clear and credible medium-term nominal anchor for the economy, he said. A high degree of uncertainty about future inflation hurts both investment and jobs, and the economy works best if there is a degree of predictability. Most people can cope with some variation in the inflation rate from year to year, but dealing with uncertainty about what inflation is likely to average over the medium term is more difficult. Inflation targeting plays therefore an important role in reducing that uncertainty by providing a strong nominal anchor. Then the inflation target should be nested within the broader objective, he said, of welfare maximisation. It's worth remembering that inflation control is not the ultimate objective, and this is actually quite important. Rather, it is a means to an end, and that end is the welfare of the society that we serve. And he said, I sometimes feel that as some central banks sought to establish their credentials as inflation fighters, they overemphasize the importance of short-run inflation outcomes, and this has been difficult to walk back from. Some central banks have been concerned that if they gave weight to other considerations, the community might doubt their commitment to inflation control. So it became all about inflation. And the inflation target should have a degree of flexibility. That's not to say that the target itself should be flexible. This would diminish its usefulness in providing a medium-term anchor. Rather, some variation in inflation from year to year is acceptable and, indeed, unavoidable. How much variation is too much is difficult to know, but the variation should not be so large that it generates doubt about the commitment of the central bank in achieving the target over time. And he said, like other countries, Australia has had low inflation over recent years. Over the past 4 years, headline inflation has mostly been below 2%, although it has been slightly above that mark on a couple of occasions. In underlying terms, inflation has been below the band for 3 years. Towards the end of last year, inflation was turning out to be lower than they had expected, and their forecasts for inflation were being marked down. One factor was the flexibility of labour supply, as this links back to that earlier discussion of the reasons for low inflation globally. When they prepared their forecast in mid-2017, they did so on the basis that the share of the adult population participating in the labour market, the participation rate, would remain steady over the next couple of years. At the time, that was considered a reasonable forecast. While they expected some increase in participation from an encouraged work effect because of solid employment growth, they thought that this would be offset by the ageing of the population. But since then, things have turned out quite differently. Employment growth has been much stronger than anticipated, and the participation rate has risen by 1.5 percentage points, which is a large change over a fairly short period. Put simply, the strong demand for labour has been met by more labour supply. This flexibility of labour supply, he said, is a positive development and has meant that strong employment growth has not tested the economy's supply capacity. More demand for workers has been met with more labour supply. This has contributed to the subdued wage outcomes over recent times, which in turn has contributed to the low inflation outcomes. As the evidence accumulated in support of these propositions, the outlook for monetary policy changed and the board lowered the cash rate in June and July. In making these decisions, the board also recognised that the earlier concerns about the trajectory of household debt had lessened. The board has also paid attention to the shift in the outlook for monetary policy globally. These two recent reductions in the cash rate will support demand in the Australian economy. So, too, will recent tax cuts, higher commodity prices, some stabilisation in the housing market, ongoing investment in infrastructure, and a lift in resource sector investment. And they also need to remember that the underlying foundations of the Australian economy remain strong, he said. It remains to be seen if future growth in demand will be sufficient to put pressure on the economy's supply capacity and lift inflation in a reasonable time frame. It is certainly possible that this is the outcome, but if demand growth is not sufficient, the board is prepared to provide additional support by easing monetary policy further. However, as he says, I have discussed on other occasions, other arms of public policy could also play a role in this scenario. Whether or not further monetary easing is needed, it is reasonable to expect an extended period of low interest rates. On current projections, it will be some time before inflation is comfortably back within the target range. And the board is strongly committed, he said, to making sure that we get there and continuing to deliver an average rate of inflation of between 2 and 3%, it is highly unlikely that we will be contemplating higher interest rates until we are confident that inflation will return to around the midpoint of the target range. Now, there are a few worrying points that I think we should just touch on. Firstly, of course, inflation is not being measured correctly. As we've discussed several times, it is artificially low. Second, we also know that the employment rate is also not measured correctly, and the real unemployment rate is much higher, as the Roy Morgan data shows. And thirdly, once again, the Reserve Bank is walking away from a concern about household debt. And as I have discussed recently with Steve Keen, actually household debt is by far the most critical issue in the mix. And I think the final point to say is that the fixation on inflation targeting has absolutely diluted focus on the broader well-being of Australians, despite what he might say. And I compare and contrast this with what's going on in New Zealand, where Adrian Orr there is absolutely tilting the balance much more towards a broader range of outcomes relating to the better welfare of New Zealanders. So I'm afraid that I don't find this particularly a convincing speech. And I guess it continues the mantra of lower interest rates for longer until such time as the inflation rate recovers. The question is that likely at all? I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.